We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each and every heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the year that President Kennedy was shot, in the year that Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King were gunned down, in the year that the space shuttle blew up, in the year that the planes hit the World Trade Center towers, in the year that the Cathedral of Notre Dame burned, in the year that King Uzziah died. King Uzziah ruled Judah for 52 years. Imagine having a president for 52 years. He brought the kingdom to new heights of economic prosperity, military power, and political influence. Pretty hard to forget someone that influential when they pass from our sight. Or something that happens that's traumatic in our lives. And so in order to put a date on Isaiah's dramatic, life-changing experience and call from God, he names an event in the year that King Uzziah died. And everyone will say, oh yeah, I remember that year. Well, the year was 740 BC. What is so special about the way Isaiah begins his story is that we can see he's writing down his vision for earthly readers like you and me who would follow hundreds of years later. After all, God encounters us in historical context, in real time, right? While other events are going on, God encounters Isaiah in real time. It brings otherworldly vision a bit down to earth, doesn't it? When it happened in a real place, in a real time. Isaiah was doing exactly what you are doing today. He was in worship. Isaiah was worshiping, but do you think he was expecting much out of his worship experience that day? What are you expecting out of yours? I don't know. Moses was just tending sheep when he had his vision and the burning bush and the voice calling to him to take off his shoes. He turned aside from his busyness and he paid attention to the voice of Yahweh. I have no clue, it doesn't tell us in scriptures, what Abraham was doing when God called him to take his family and go to the land I will show you. No clue what, where, why, but God came, God called, Abraham listened, Abraham obeyed. Saul was on his way to arrest and persecute more Christians when he had a vision, he heard a voice, and he followed directions. There are a host of other stories that fill this book. Stories of God coming to them, and I imagine that many of you have your own story of feeling the sense of presence of God, of overwhelming sense of awe. It may not have been an ecstatic experience as Isaiah, but perhaps you have had your own experiences. I remember being on the edge of the Grand Canyon, completely dumbstruck by the beauty and the vastness and the overwhelming sense of the presence of the Creator, and the tears rolled down my face. I just knew God was there, and some of us standing around on the edge started to sing, "O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hand hath made, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art." I worshiped God that day. It wasn't all part of my plan. You know, you go camping, you go walking around. You don't plan to be bam, smack in the face of God. It wasn't a tourist experience. I really worshiped the Creator God on the edge of the canyon. It was awesome and amazing. So in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah went to the temple just like he did every other Sabbath day. Who knows what was going on in his life that day? Who knows how his week had been? Who knows if he was even thinking about God? Could it be that sometimes we come to this place kind of out of habit and don't really have any expectations? Who knows? But then it happened. And the first thing we read was he saw the Lord. He really saw the Lord, and the angels were singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And with those singing words and seeing this vision, Isaiah saw himself for who he was. A human being, a sinner, a person struggling with life and with himself, a person who is lost, not the kind of person a holy God would want to have a relationship with. And that's how Isaiah felt that day in the temple when the Lord appeared to him. And so Isaiah said, "I saw." And then he said, "I heard." And the seraphim were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Holy, holy, holy. Do you know why they repeated it three times? Wasn't enough to just simply say, "Holy is God." But in the Hebrew language, intensity is communicated through repetition. To say that God is holy says something. And to say that the Lord is holy, holy says far more. But to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," is to declare his highest dimension possible degree. Holy, 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 sang the angels. And after Isaiah saw and after he heard, then Isaiah felt. Isaiah says, after he encountered the God of the universe, "I felt so unworthy. Woe is me," I cried. "I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and yet my eyes have seen the King of the universe." And then, after Isaiah saw, and he heard, and he felt, he got cleaned. Because one of the seraphs flew with a live coal in his hand that he'd taken from the tongs of the altar, and he touched my mouth, and he said, "See, I have touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And then Isaiah wrote, "After I saw, and after I heard, and after I felt God, and after I was cleansed, then I heard the Lord of the God say, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I answer, 'Here am I. Send me. Send me.'" We are entering this holy season of Advent, a holy time to prepare our hearts to receive the greatest gift ever offered in form of a tiny baby born in a stinky stable to a refugee couple. It's a gift, though, of pure love, and we anticipate the second coming of that same Jesus. And that gift did not spontaneously combust. That gift required many to see, to hear, to say, send me, use me. Between the time the writer Isaiah wrote of his experience and that baby was born, hundreds of years had happened. Generations of people had come and gone, and the stories were told over and over, grandparent to grandchild, and that child grew up into his children and to his children. The stories were told, a promise of Messiah was told again and again. You see, expectations need to be treasured. Expectations need to be remembered and shared again and again. You can't, parents, tell the story too much. You cannot, during this Advent season, Grandma, tell this story too many times. Tell it again and again. Because when the Spirit moves, the time had come for the prophecy to be fulfilled. Then Zechariah heard. And then Elizabeth heard. And then shepherds heard. And wise men started following a star. Each and every one had sensed the presence of something, someone greater than themselves. No one could make this story up. That's the truth. No one could make this story up. Particularly Mary. Mary, just a young woman sitting in the courtyard doing nothing. The angel of the Lord appears to her. She saw with her eyes the angel of God. And the angel spoke and she heard, and the angel said, Hail Mary, full of grace. Wow. It was something about Mary and her grace-filled life that God saw. Those words from that angel were words of honor. That angel must have fallen at her feet, honoring the grace that was distinctly hers. She heard the message he delivered. And Luke says she had grace and grit. Have you ever thought of Mary with grace and grit? She's not submissive, is she, at first? She says, what sort of greeting is this? The angel obliged her with an explanation. Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. And the grit spoke up again. How shall this happen? I'm not even married. You know, come to think of it, she's not that sweet little meek thing that we see in all the paintings. God chose a spunky woman. Mary wanted by God, according to the angel, for her bold, independent, adventurous spirit. And like Isaiah, she says, all right, here am I. Use me according to your will. So all of these, Abraham, Moses, Isaiah, Elizabeth, Mary, were just ordinary folks. Out walking sheep, sitting under a tree. At worship, in a temple, baking bread, sitting on the patio. Ordinary people like you, like me. More ways than you can count, they are just ordinary people. But they saw with their eyes something that reminded them of the presence of God. They heard voices and songs of angel choirs. They heard the voice of God. And every one of these ordinary people said, all right, whatever you want, use me, send me. So hopefully, during this Advent season, you and I might be willing to spend some quiet moments with God. I've added that to my calendar of things to do. I meet with God every morning, because if God and I don't have time in the morning, you don't want to be around me. And I'm ending my evening now, every night, sitting in the dark with one candle. You don't have to talk to God. God hears a lot of chatter. Just sit in the presence of God so that if God wants to ask you to do something, you can hear God. Because all these stories are people who saw and they heard because they were listening, aware, that we might hear God's voice asking us to do something bold and courageous, that we might, like all the others who heard this beautiful story again and again of God's grace and love, might receive it deeper than we've ever received it before. Deep down, even into our bones. And then respond with grace and with courage and with spunk. All right, God, here am I. Use me. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, my precious brothers and sisters in Christ, this is my challenge this week. As you sit in the dark tonight, thinking of the week, who are you most like in all these stories? Abraham? Sarah? Moses? Isaiah? How about Zechariah? He kind of got in trouble, right? Elizabeth? Joseph? Mary, who are you most like? And what does God need to happen in your life to turn you into someone like Isaiah or Mary who said, here am I. Whatever it is, God, use me. Amen.